All right. Good morning, everybody. I'll call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, May 8, 2018, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and good morning. Fairly straightforward agenda today, so I'm looking forward to see how we do. I know, Laura, you've got a meeting coming up at noon, and Marty, I think you've got one coming up at noon, so we'll endeavor to make it by then, and I think we're going to. First item, as always, is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address any topic on today's agenda or otherwise. If you'd like to address something, please come on up to the microphone. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move to consideration of Economic Development Week. And are the three of you going to present it? All right. Drew, John, and Brenda, come on up and present our proposed proclamation.
Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Thanks for giving us the opportunity. We're excited this week to be celebrating from May 7th to May 12th, 2018 Economic Development Week. It's a week that the International Economic Development Council has really started promoting over the last couple of years, and it really gives us a really good chance to promote and give a pat on the back and an attaboy to our partners, because in economic development, you can't really do much of anything without the partner organizations that you have. We're a public-private partnership for a reason, and we enjoy really good collaboration with a variety of entities from the private and the public sector. The County Board of Supervisors, obviously being one of those, your guys' strong investment commitment to our economic development and community development in the rural communities, as well as the workforce development initiatives and the workforce development programming that you guys have funded for several years now, is very instrumental in our work and very important in the work that we do. And just to showcase that, just last week I know Supervisor Olson was down when we received the 2018 Business Retention and Expansion Award from the Professional Developers of Iowa. And what that actually was for, it wasn't just our Business Retention and Expansion Program, it was for our countywide effort, and it really focused on the effort that we have been able to facilitate based on our relationship with the Board of Supervisors, with the Community Economic Development, and especially the Workforce Solutions Program, which is obviously so critical because we as a community have, you know, the lowest unemployment in the entire country as a county. So the work that the board has done, that Brenda has done, and our team has done has really been instrumental, and we just did receive some recognition for that, and we're hoping to, we're putting some other applications in as well for that program to get recognized, because we really do think it's a model of what should be done, and like I said, it really can't be done without our partner organizations of the county, the city, the state, the university, the community college, and the like. So we really just are very happy right now this week to really thank our partner organizations who make what we do possible.
Outstanding. Thank you. So let me read this in, and then we'll take comments and go from there. So, 2018 Economic Development Week Proclamation. Whereas the International Economic Development Council is the largest professional economic development organization in the world, dedicated to serving economic developers and their local state and federal partner organizations. And whereas the International Economic Development Council provides leadership and excellence in economic development for practitioners and their communities. And whereas economic developers promote economic well-being and quality of life for their communities by creating, retaining, and expanding jobs that facilitate growth, enhance wealth, and provide a stable tax base. And whereas economic developers attract and retain high-quality jobs, develop vibrant communities, and improve the quality of life in their communities, states, and regions. And whereas economic development professionals are engaged in a wide variety of settings, including rural and urban, local, state, and federal governments, public-private partnerships, chambers of commerce, universities, and a variety of other institutions/entities. And whereas the creation of new opportunities for businesses and entrepreneurs is a key component to securing Story County's economic future for generations to come, and whereas Story County is committed to fostering a business climate that will attract employers, enable the county to grow and remain competitive on a global scale, and generate new jobs and opportunities for our citizens, and whereas the Ames Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Commission the Nevada Economic Development Council, and the Story County Economic Development Group are committed to providing quality resources that boost economic growth, enhance quality of life, and enhance quality of life throughout Story County. Therefore, we, the Story County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim May 7th, 2018 through May 12th, 2018 as Economic Development Week in appreciation of all our partners in the economic development field due to make Story County the vibrant and thriving community it is today. So my comment would be, we're so fortunate to have you guys and all our other partners pulling in the same direction. I'm as excited as at any time in the last 8 years that we finally have all of Story County on one team pulling in the same direction, and I'm looking forward to absolutely phenomenal results from that. Just a little reminder, everybody. So for years and years and years, Story County had invested about $55,000 a year in economic development. No more, no less. It primarily went to things like welcome signage and town brochures, and we really had no workforce component that we were pushing. We didn't get involved in projects. And about 2010, we made a fundamental shift in our philosophy to the point that now, on an annual basis, we're investing about five times more in economic development, and we are a willing participant in many projects and Main Street revitalization efforts that go before us. So I'm a big believer that the proof is in the pudding, and the number I like to quote that talks about the kind of impact this has had, and I think will continue to have, is from 2000 to 2010. In all of Story County, Iowa, we added 500 private sector jobs. For the entirety of the decade, there were 500 private sector net jobs added in Story County. From 2011 through right now, we've added almost 6,000 private sector jobs. So 12 times more jobs in a shorter period of time. And while there are a lot of factors that contribute to that, one of the primary factors is our entire community, every city, our university, clearly the county, is completely committed to working together and pulling in the same direction. And that is so good for our citizenry and quality of life issues. And Drew, Brenda, John, and the entire team, thank you guys so much for your role in this and the part you play. We are really, really lucky to have you guys. Marty, Laura, anything to add?
I will let you know, Drew, that when I watched you guys up there, along with Huffley Mayor, Craig,
Henry,
okay, accept the award, I clapped as loudly as I could. I did not scream out of, as it was a rather official event, okay, but it was very exciting to watch you up there, knowing all of the work that so many people had put into winning that award. So congratulations.
Spent the past week with Brenda again. I approached my job.
People are starting to talk, by the way, you guys.
Yeah, right.
I was with Brenda again in Cambridge, but what we do, I'm more of a pedestrian approach to this opportunity, and through our contact and the position we fund both, and I'll get a shout-out to you here in a minute, John, but with Brenda, you go into communities and they see the success that is being had in the Nevada and the Ames area, and they like to be part of that. They like to grow their communities. They like to grow their schools. They like to make their downtowns better. They like to make quality of life a likelihood, not a wish. To that end, I don't know how Story County did what it did for as long as it did, but thank God that I don't serve in a time where that's not the case. We have the ability to, I wouldn't say grant wishes, but we have ability to make a difference. And with collaboration with your office, we do that, because when we walk in the room, we are well received. We come with success to our name and to our credit, and we hold out the real possibility that we can be a difference maker. And thank you for what your office does. And to that end, speaking as the Nevada guy up here, I would say I welcome John Hall into our confines again as the leader of the NEDC, and I believe in a space of 5 weeks' time, he's already made a real difference, and I look forward to the announcements he will be sharing at some time going forward.
Yeah, more great things done. Come, and Drew will remember this, since Drew was really the first hire when we got really serious about taking this on as a county. We were met with extreme skepticism early on. There were a lot of people that really debated. So our initial contract, when we sent out for bids, I think we had 3 to 5 people who bid on it. We got public presentations. When the board ended up choosing the contract with the ADC to provide this, there was major skepticism over this. I think at that time it was an $85,000 contract, if I'm not mistaken, with the ADC. What is this going to do for us? And now our local communities, and you guys feel this when you go to the Story County Economic Development group meetings, they don't know what they would do without First Drew and then Brenda, John, all the work that you do and will do to get this done. And I don't want to leave out, you know, Dan as the leader of the team. He's the one who sets the direction and gets things going. And then you just look at the there can't be another economic development commission anywhere in America for a town the size of Ames, community the size of Story County, that has more great people pulling in the same direction, and we are really, really fortunate. So,
as one of those skeptics from 2010, I will admit it, and I still ask some really tough questions, and I appreciate that you always are very forthright in answering them and helping me understand. I will make the motion that we approve this proclamation.
I would second that.
You got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Drew, anything to add?
I did just want to show, this will be the first time it's been shown in public. We have a video that we put together. It's about 2 minutes long for Economic Development Week, and it really does touch on the impacts that you talked about countywide with all the work that we're doing outside of Ames and throughout Story County. So I would really like to show this video, and it kind of highlights the impact that we've had since last year.
This year we will complete the first phase of our second major expansion. This investment of $65 million in production capacity creates 40 million jobs and, to our knowledge, makes us the largest capacity hospital in North America. This is how Story works.
In addition to the county's investment in the National Environmental Learning Corridor and expanding amenities in the ISU Research Park, we have added 95 businesses, 2,050 jobs, and we still have plenty of room to expand. This is how Story grows.
At Iowa State University, we continue to support entrepreneurship and business development through our ongoing investments in the university's economic development and industry relations efforts, coupled with the statewide reach of ISU Extension and Outreach. This is how Story grows.
The City of Ames completed an annotation of 1,350 acres of the Prairie View Industrial Center while continuing to invest in side grants to support our small businesses. This is how Story grows.
We've been rooted in Ames for 60 years, supporting the global agricultural economy. This is how Story grows.
To build upon our large manufacturing base in rural Iowa, we established a presence at the ISU Research Park to build a consistent talent pipeline. This is how Story grows.
We are a locally built food processing company, and since being acquired by Hormel, we have continued to invest and grow our global presence from the Bay to Iowa. This is how Story grows.
Lion Energy has invested in Prairie View Industrial Center because we see the potential in having a certified industrial site in the heart of Story County. This is how Story grows.
As an award-winning local center, we continue to introduce new technologies that have a positive impact on the world and the health. This is how Story grows.
As the golden anchor of the cultivation corridor, we have the opportunity to bring all of these partners together to move Ames and Story County forward. From the smallest of startups to the largest of multinational corporations, we're involved at every level of business in Ames and Story County. That is how Story grows.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah. So let's get that out everywhere.
Oh, yeah, we will. It'll be going out later today. But as you can see, there's a common theme there, and it's Story Grows. That's going to be our branding for our social media marketing going forward for the rest of the year. This is the kickoff of it. We figured it was the best time to do it as part of Economic Development Week. But once again, I just really want to thank you for helping to make sure this story does continue to grow. So thank you very much.
Outstanding. All right, we got a motion and a second. Olson?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders, wholehearted aye. It is Economic Development Week in Story County. And do we have a photo op we can do here, Drew? All right, let's do it. lot. Absolutely.
Did you do that? You're
right on
that. Yeah.
That way.
All right.
Excellent. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Four.
Yeah. Go get them, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you, guys. So, from one great organization that makes sure that we here in Story County and even regionally are doing the best we can with what we have. We get to go to another one who's working on it, kind of from the other end of the spectrum, and we get to hear from our dear friend, Arlene McAtee of MICA, Mid-Iowa Community Action.
All right.
Arlene, how are you today?
I am doing very well.
Wasn't that fun? This is how Story grows.
That is. That's great news. It's great news for all the families we work with in Story County, too. It's great to hear that we're going to be able to provide them with more and more opportunity here in Story County. So thank you for that. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about our work, and thank you for your very long-term support of our agency and the work we do with families. I'm going to go through an overview of what's been going on with the agency as a whole and some information about Story County in particular. I'll do it pretty quickly so that we have time for questions after that. First of all, we introduced a new strategic plan on October 1st of this year. We had a very thorough process that lasted a year. We involved over 600 of the people we served. We involved over 225 community stakeholders, people like yourselves, teachers, educators, police, all kinds of folks from our community. And then we also involved every member of our staff in the development of this. We took that opportunity to revise our mission, to bring it more into accordance, to provide a fuller picture of who we are and what we're about. And so you'll find on your handout that starts with our mission, MICA's new revised mission, which is, MICA's mission is to provide opportunities to people in vulnerable situations. We equip them to achieve stability, security, and success. We collaborate with families and partners to create communities where fewer people find themselves in poverty, and those who do have a path out. We revised our vision statement as well, and our values remain pretty much the same, although we added advocacy and looked that up because it's a very important piece of the work that we do. The second side of the annual report is just a quick overview of in fiscal year 2017, which ended September 30th, 2017, you'll see that our agency served 22,750 individuals and 8,631 families, which is about 1 in 8 people in our service area, which our core areas, Hardin, Marshall, Tama, Poweshiek, and Story counties. Although we do have services in about 30 counties in Iowa. And you can see some other statistics about who we're serving and what kind of characteristics they have. Then I'd like to just go on to what we're doing in health in Story County. And you'll see here a report dated May 8th that has a comparison of what happened last fiscal year in total, and then also what's happened so far in the first few months, October through April of this fiscal year. And when you look at the Story County Dental Clinic, you'll see that despite the fact that our dentist left in December after 3 years with us, that was a loss for sure, we continue to serve people at a pretty good rate in the clinic. And we've done that through using contracted dentists who come to us from temp agencies or dentists that we have contacts with through other means. One of the things that I'm highlighting, because I think it's an important thing to understand in our work, is our no-show rate. Folks who are receiving Medicaid or who may be receiving the dental wellness program or who are uninsured and have to pay for themselves have a reputation of not showing up. That reputation comes from the fact that in many practices where dentists try to serve those folks, they don't show up. So we've worked very hard. It's important for us in terms of our financial stability, but also in terms of making sure people are getting the care they need to greatly reduce that no-show rate, and you'll see that over time we've been pretty successful with that, and we hope to continue down that path of keeping people in the seat, getting the care they need. And I would attribute that to two factors. One, we have multiple means of contacting people, and we bug them until they show up. But the other thing is, we spend a little extra time with people, helping them feel comfortable with the practice, have a relationship with the staff in the clinic, and helping them understand the importance of the dental care and oral health care that they're going to receive in the clinic, and why following up is important. And I think that's why we're having the kind of success that you see here. We also, as a part of our asset funding, provide fluoride varnishes to children. And you can see how many we've served so far this year. And we also have vouchers that come from ASSET that allow us to get children services like fillings, extractions, and other kinds of services that they might need for their oral health. So that's where we're standing right now with health services. Some good news. We have hired a new dentist. He's going to start July 1st. I can't say who he is. I can't say where he's from. He's selling his practice, and as you do that, you know, that's a process that requires some confidentiality. But he has sold his practice, and he is going to be with us July 1. So we are very enthusiastic about the new dentist. He has a background in public health, having started there right out of dental school, but he's also operated a private practice that was very successful. And he will be a great asset to the community and to our practice at the Story County Dental Clinic. And then also we receive a variety of funding for our family development services. You'll see here the ones that have an asterisk are the ones that are funded by ASSET, and then there are other services we provide that are funded by other means in our family development center. I'll kind of lift up the emergency food information. You can see that we have averaged 310 households and 899 individuals each month at the emergency food program. That means over 10 a day are coming in seeking food. And I've been around for a very, very long time in our agency. I've worked at MICA for 41 years, and I've been the executive director for 14 years. And one of the things that history allows me to see is what has changed about the people that we're serving. And one of the things that I constantly reflect on is when I first started, the biggest preponderance of the people we were seeing were seniors. They were families where a head of household had a disability, maybe some very long-term unemployed folks in that mix. Now we see largely families where some member of the household is working, and they just cannot earn enough to lift themselves away from poverty or to the point where they can be stable around meeting the basic needs of the family. And I think that's reflected in these numbers. You know, we saw quite an escalation as our country went through the recession, and then we anticipated it would go down, but it never really did. And we know we're only one of many food pantries and emergency food programs in Story County. So, you know, this makes the presentation we had just before all the more important.
Absolutely.
And it really does tie to that very closely, as does our family development work, where we're trying to then work with families on plans that allow them to set a path away from their current situation to greater stability and security and success. And we have different kinds of those family development programs, early childhood, for families who are receiving TANF, and for families whose just general circumstances mean that they need somebody to help them navigate that course. And that general one, Steps to Success, is the one that's funded through ASSET. Energy assistance, I just wanted to make a comment about that. We served 1,008 people in our energy assistance program this year between basically October and now. That's quite a few. We had a lot of people show up April 1st when the moratorium ended. So many that we ran out of money to help people with emergency needs and had to start a waiting list. Now, Since that time, we've received from the utility, investor-owned utilities provide us with their contribution money. We've gotten that, and the state gave us a slight increase, but that money's going to run out, I'm sure, too. It's become a bigger and bigger crisis for families to try to meet, again, this basic sort of need around their utility services. And you can see our early childhood services and the number of families we serve. We have, of course, a Head Start Center in Nevada. And we do early Head Start home visits throughout the county. And then we provided you with a success story of someone we worked with who became successful in bad, still needed some help, and steps to success was gave us the ability to continue to work with that family when the state funding was no longer an option for them. And they have done great things and are looking at buying a house and moving forward with more stable employment. And that's the kind of stories that we see every day, and that's what makes us so happy to be a part of this work.
Yeah, I mean, so 41 years with MICA, you better be able to get fired up about the success stories. I mean, I know you have a lot of those, and then a lot that for whatever reason aren't successful. And just so appreciative. So this is one of the 14 boards that I'm fortunate to serve on, and there is no finer board, and a lot of it is due to Arlene and the way the organization is structured. It's an outstanding board. I mean, I was chuckling when you were talking about the mission statement and the vision statement, thinking about how much time we spend as a board really going through and wordsmithing and getting it just right. And it was a complete accident that we had economic development. We can go right before you, but it's a great reminder for all of us that those two, the work that you do and the work that they do, ought to go hand in glove, because they are so interrelated in trying to break this cycle of poverty and making sure that not only do we have people employed, but we have people employed at a level that they can actually live without relying on. I mean, the ultimate goal would be to get to a point that MICA is not necessary. We're never going to get there.
That would be the goal.
That would be the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a great job, Arlene. Thank you so much. Questions for Arlene?
Just a comment. I serve on the resource board here in Nevada, and I watched the Head Start program pinball around the community. And you have found a home in our building. And to talk to Chris Berlin, our program director, she's always wondered where you've been ever since you got there. You're a welcome addition. It is an opportunity to see future people from the basement go to the upper floors, and I have to say congratulations. And aside, I guess, you know, when I got your information here, okay, that aside, you have a success over here in Nevada. It's working. The school likes it. The center likes it, and I would change nothing, so please stay. You sit there and see the people that miss their opportunities at dental health. Now, I'm no fan of it, but I have learned to make peace with it and realize that as it slowly comes into the consciousness of people that a lot of their health is driven through the health in their mouth, that they should not. You know, I don't know how you get people to zero that number out, but whatever you've got to do, redouble your efforts, because so many things are driven through the health that you have in your teeth.
That is so true. And even, you know, at a very young age, we've had children in the Head Start program that have come to us with people saying, well, this is a child that has behavior problems. And then we'll do the screening and we'll realize that they have some severe oral health issues and that they're in pain. And they're in pain all day long. And once those are taken care of, those children, you know, everything that people said about them is, you know, reversed. So, you know, it can affect all kinds of areas of your health. It affects people's ability to get jobs and keep jobs. It's a very important issue, and I'm so grateful that Story County recognizes that. We wouldn't be able to have this clinic in this community without the tremendous amount of local support it receives. It couldn't exist any other way. But, you know, we're committed to it, and I think when our new dentist gets to town, I mean, he was just, you know, it's kind of like, okay, stop on the ideas for a minute here, you know. We've got some opportunity management we're going to have to do here and prioritize these, but he's full of great ideas that help us get there.
So excited to hear that we've got a new dentist coming, but we would be remiss if we didn't take just a minute and congratulate you and the entire dental clinic staff for stepping up in the interim and keeping things running. Also got to recognize the various dentists that have given us some of their time in order to keep this thing at least limping along. I mean, clearly we're not at the level we were when we lost our dentist, but really, really excited. But please take back to your staff thanks for keeping this thing going, because it was a Herculean task to keep it going as our dentist left. Laura?
Looking at the fluoride varnish and the child dental voucher programs, you've got still about 6 months left in your fiscal year. How has funding been? Do you still have funds?
We do still have funds. And, you know, it's interesting because it used to be pretty easy to get those vouchers to be accepted by dentists, but for a variety of reasons, even though we pay full cost, that's a little more difficult. So we will end up, I think, probably in like the last 3 months of the year, we usually are really trying to work with dentists to get people through and having to put a little extra effort in. So we typically do not run out of money. Now, some of them can be seen, some folks can be seen in our dental clinic, but others need to go to pediatric practitioners that can specialize in the needs of that child, or people who have the ability to do more extensive work. So, you know, I think we'll be fine. I think we have not ever, that I know of recently, run out of money, and we do meet the needs of everybody who comes to us at long term.
Okay. Then, might I have more of a comment or maybe a piece of kind of advice? I noticed that about 3 or 4 months ago, I believe it was, that the Chamber, Ames Chamber, your member, they have a program where people can volunteer giving an additional 10% of their dues to go in, and I have been heard before kind of reminding nonprofits, especially ones that are getting asked that money and seem to have some financial constraints from time to time, that maybe that would be something that you might look at, cutting the 10% from your budget, as that I know the Chamber has a lot of resources also available, and it just seems funny to be accruing asset funding for needed programs and then seeing some of that money go toward the Chamber. So it's just something I always let people know as it showed up. Many times what I've heard back from various groups, because I don't always advise people, it's just wherever I run into them, is that sometimes the way the bill comes in, I know having been a member of the Chamber and having been a small business in the Chamber, the way the bill comes is your bookkeeper may not realize there's an extra 10% on there. So I'll just leave a comment.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Next is consideration of minutes for May 1st.
Move as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chitty.
Aye.
Holton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions. I need to note that we got Tyler Sparks, which we had already done, but we needed to correct an amount. So the correct amount is $33,79.05.
I would so move in all of these as presented.
Second.
A motion and a second. Olson?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. No public hearing items today. Additional items. Discussion consideration of resolution 18-101. I can't believe we're...
Consent.
Oh, we have to do consent first. Okay. Consent agenda first.
I would move as presented.
1 week off and I'm completely out of breath.
Second.
Consent as presented and a second. Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Now we're going to our friend Lisa Markley.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
I can't believe we're in resolution 101 already.
Right. So what I'm asking today is for you to appropriate the remaining dollars from the original budget, or the amended, most recently amended budget, I should say. This is basically what you guys have done is done 95% of the budgets with the exception of payroll. What I'm asking is that we just do 100% for everything before we start amending next time, 2 weeks from now. So this is just 100% appropriation for all the departments.
Super. Takes us where we need to be. Questions or comments or a motion?
Straightforward. Move consideration resolution 18-101 as presented.
I second.
Motion to second. Any comments? Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 18-101 passes.
Thank you.
Next is discussion consideration of the revised remodeling plans for the Story County Animal Shelter. All of you guys, come on up with Olson chairs.
front seat.
Nice job.
Good morning.
Joe Warner. It's just too nice.
Just us.
Jeff, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. That breakfast with Joby.
Did you?
Yes.
You did eat breakfast, but we stood there. Yeah.
Yeah, we hung out. That's the important thing.
That's a guy thing.
Yeah. We hung out too, Marty and Lawrence.
No, I don't, bud.
I stand amended.
All right, take us through where we ended up.
Yes. So I say, I think we're kind of at another milestone. It's been about a year-long process now. We're starting to figure out that. But I think we're at the point where we're ready to take this out to bids. Been through the process. Sue has done a great job of kind of minimizing, deciding what the wants versus the needs are. It's turned almost primarily into a mechanical and electrical project, unfortunately, but I guess that's the cards we were dealt. So we're making a few minor architectural improvements to kind of give her some more space and some more usable space, taking advantage of some of the vacant space she has now that she can recover for program activities, and then making some fairly substantial and considerable upgrades to the mechanical systems and electrical systems. I know we talked about some alternates. We've kind of refined those and narrowed those down. So we're looking at three alternates right now. The first of which is replacing some of the equipment. We're trying to reuse what we can, but there are a few pieces left there that under the base bid, we're going to reuse those pieces. We're going to do an add alternate to potentially replace those as well. So we can do that cost effectively now versus moving them. The second is an add alternate we're going to do to add some additional acoustical materials in the dog kennel areas. If you've been out there, you can understand that pretty quickly. So we're going to do some basic installation of some panels on the walls that we're replacing or that we're adding, but then we're also going to try and do that ceiling surface and cover the metal that's there. But we're going to do that as an add alternate. And then the third alternate will be a deduct for the work that Joby and his crew think they can do and handle, and we'll do that as a deduct. So the base price will include that work being done by the contractor. If we get to a point where we need to scale back, we'll have that opportunity to let Joby and the facilities people come in and do some of that work. So those are the three alternates we're with. The one I know that we'd originally talked about was the energy recovery units. We talked about doing them exterior, putting them inside. As we got more and more into that issue, we really found that locating them on the roof was not going to be cost-effective regardless, just based on the construction of that building, supporting mechanical units on the roof.
Right.
It really just didn't make sense. So we felt like the best option is put them inside. That's where everybody prefers them anyway, and that's going to be a better solution.
Good. So
we really eliminated that alternate, but we feel like we got a better long-term solution. So, yeah, I think we are ready with the plans that you have before you to send them out to contractors and
see what we get back.
Process moving, yeah, yeah.
Outstanding questions.
Nothing. I see this as people ask. I've been asked because you've got people watch what we do and they watch us online. It's just like you say yes a lot, Jay. You ever say no? And Jeff spoke to it, but in a tangible way, because we have sharpened and sharpened and sharpened. While we have donated dollars for this project, we have pared this down. We have tuned this up to the point which we set here before us to take upon to move to bid. Is a refining process is the better part of a year. And I would have to say, yeah, we are pretty mindful of the fact that our public dollars are being expended on behalf of the Animal Control Department, but I think we've done a very, and with your help, a commendable job getting us to that point, because, you know, this is just something that, you know, this is part and parcel of what the supervisors do, and we have the ability to do. So I'm looking forward to getting to the yes.
Looking at these plans, Jeff, I'm sure that you and your staff did a great job. I'm going to take the nods from Sue and Joby as that they're looking good and everybody's happy, okay? Yeah. Certainly, I want to appreciate you and the staff that's worked on this for your responsiveness, because we have sent you back to the drawing board a couple of times or more. And so I know that that time is money. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, so I think both Marty and Laura said it right. I mean, it is our responsibility to really try to sharpen the pencil wherever we can and make sure that we're providing the services that we need to provide in as cost-effective a manner as possible. But in Story County, traditionally, long before this board, long before any of us were sitting on this board, Story County has a tradition of building or renovating buildings correctly and then taken care of. And we see that, you know, we talk about it every chance we get. We're sitting in a 50-year-old building right here. You wouldn't know it to walk around. And we do that step by step. And so making sure that we don't save a nickel in order to spend a dime down the road, sometimes you've got to spend some money. We recognize that. So our next opportunity, assuming we'll go ahead and approve these, to start to scratch our head again, will be when we get the bid back in and we see how everything comes in. But, Jeff, I just, as always, every time we work with you, you and your staff do a phenomenal job getting us where we need to go. Joey, I'm so excited to have had, because we were in the middle of the transition to you when we did this, but the way you rolled up your sleeves and dug in has been phenomenal. And Sue, your flexibility in trying to figure out not only what you wanted and what you'd like to have, but what exactly we need and how we can make this thing really, really conducive to what you and your staff do without spending excessive money. Really, really appreciate how hard you work. We'd also be remiss. I know Deb Shildroff spent a lot of time working through this, so we need to acknowledge her. And then everybody else who dug in. We're in a good spot right now. Now we've got to hope that that our contractors that bid on it keep us in a good spot.
Right.
Yeah. There's no other question. I take a motion to approve the plans as presented.
I would move that we approve the plans as presented, including the two additions and the one detract.
Second. Got a motion and a second. Further discussion. Jeff, anything to add? Any notes before we go?
No, I think so. About a month from today, I think we'll be back with bids.
That is correct. That's it. That's
the
track. Thank you. I saw Shelly's face.
Shelly, what you've done is a long time coming, but I think we're getting to the end.
Yeah. So I just want to add to thanks to Jeff and Sue both. We've been all over the place with this project, and you know, a lot of questions, a lot of a couple of hard discussions, but you know, we got to here. Yeah. I think we're in a good place with this whole project.
It would have been really easy to do this project in a rush,
yep,
and then have to deal with not only the cost of construction, but the cost of ownership. And I think what we've done through the diligence of all parties here is dial it back to the fact that we have a more usable facility that will cost less to operate.
Yep.
Absolutely. And one that just makes sense. Absolutely. Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Thanks. We'll look forward to seeing you in a month with good numbers.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's the challenge before.
Okay. All right. Next is discussion and consideration of revised training schedule for the continuity of government, continuity of operations, continuity of government, what I prefer to call COOP-COG, because it's fun to say.
Good morning again. We had a little bit of snafu with the original training schedule that I brought, Keith Morgan and I both brought before you earlier this year for a COOP-COG training. We're setting up, like, to schedule three training dates, two to half day training sessions and a full day training session. The original schedule had us going last week for a COOP-COG, but we had to push that back, and so I have some proposed dates for you to consider. If we do it the same manner in which we did at the beginning of the year, you would approve it today, send out seven-day review, and bring it back. That would give department heads and elected officials and the management team opportunity to look at the dates. Right now, we're looking at June 20th for the first one, and that's 2 to 3 hours. August 29th, which is the same date as the second one. And then rather than going on into 2019, Keith and I discussed getting it all done this calendar year. That will actually assist me as I do the annual review of the COOP-COG too. And that would be November 30th, 2018. That's the one that I don't feel the most comfort with because that's right after the Thanksgiving holiday. But I see a lot of value in getting it done yet this calendar year. So action today, if you do want to follow the same procedure, was approve these 3 dates of the 7-day review, and I'll bring it back next week to your agenda.
Perfect. Questions or comments? Anything that she needs changed before we send this out for 7-day review?
No, I like the fact that taking into account we didn't do it last week, but you did do a revisit. I like the idea and the thought of doing it all the same year. We're actually holding on to one of the 3 dates anyway, so there's not that much of movement. But I would think this is something that we should take up and do today. And if anybody wants to have a motion, I'll deal with it.
Do it.
I would move consideration of a revised training schedule, which will reflect June 20th August 29, 2018, and November 30th as our training days for continuity and the COOCOG training schedule as presented.
Send out for 7-day review.
7-day review.
I would second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Please send it out for 7-day review.
Okay,
we'll, let's see. So next week is a limited agenda.
If I have no concerns, may I just
stay on there? If you do, we'll have to hold it for another week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Super. All right, now discussion and consideration of follow-up items post-website go-live. So I don't see Leanne coming back, even though she's listed as a star of this conversation. Barb and Alyssa.
Good morning.
Good morning, Barb. So let me start with this. I love the look of the new website.
Good.
So I'm not a website guru, but so far I've been able to find everything I wanted to find. I'm quite sure anytime you take something like this live, that's not the end. It's not flip the switch and we're done. It is flip the switch and figure out what works, what doesn't, what would be better in a different format or in a different spot. And I assume that's where we are now.
Can we bring it up? Yes, we are there.
As you know, Board, we went live 3 weeks ago, and it was successful. I mean, it did come up. I've been on projects where all of a sudden they flip the switch and nothing happens. And as with anything else, we've noticed there are a few things that looked great in training. They worked perfectly in training, but when you get to real life, not so good. So the first thing we noticed is the calendar. And some departments were afraid that they had been doing something wrong, and they were not. Oh, that's not the one I want. They were doing it exactly like we were taught in training. So if you look at the calendar, we were told that the meeting calendar belonged to the board, and everyone else is to put things on community events. Now, the trainer had all kinds of stuff on the meeting calendar, so we're like, oh, yeah, that looks great. Except in practice now, we have to search to find things. And so this is something that we'd like to change.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something we have to go back to Civic Plus for. Leanne, didn't you say it was a widget that we could play with? So we haven't done that yet. We had our last website meeting yesterday, so that's on the agenda. What we'd like to see it be like, if I can pull up City of Ames. And I am a mouse person, so I'm not good with this touchpad.
I know about Ames.
How did I scroll down on it? There's their calendar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All under one spot is what makes the most
yeah.
sense, far away. Yeah.
And if you look at detail, and why it's not a little
more. Sorry, it's the more.
Where's the more?
Bottom right, over here.
Oh, it didn't show up on the screen. So if you go to more, this is what we envision that our calendar will look like. Uh-huh. With everything right there. And then when you click on a certain item, if there aren't enough details, you can get more details.
Super.
So that's what we envision ours will look like. What do you think, Board? Is that something that you like the look of?
Yeah, I think I'd like to see it all in one spot where it's easy
right.
for members. You know, hard to have the public start to say, well, is that Board of Supervisors? And a lot of times they think everything is Board of Supervisors.
Right.
Let's see if we can get it all into one spot where when people see something they're interested in, they can click on it and get more information.
I liked, as we were kind of having a mini discussion about this last week, okay, and Barb, in your response, you know, when the website committee did discuss about then people, if they were interested in conservation, could go to the conservation page, if they were interested in the events, okay. So I'm hoping that as you talk to Civic Plus about this, that we also will be able to still offer that option, because I think both theories are valid. One, that if you're interested only in one particular department, like conservation events, right, that you could go to the conservation department and find those. Now, I know that you can play with the calendar. I've been playing with it a couple minutes this morning. And theoretically, from the homepage, you should be able to select the calendar you want. they kept on just bringing me back to the Board of Supervisors, all my calendars, so they made it. But then having all of them also to follow the track pattern of maybe people like me or Rick or Dewar saying, we just want to see what's going on this week, period.
So you can, if you check, if you go view all events, you can check this and check the calendar. And then on the flip side, each department, when they're putting things in their calendar, they have the option to show it on the main calendar as well.
Okay, so that's what it
works both ways.
I just kept on rotating through from, you know, VOS. Okay, great.
Okay. Yeah, so I'd say let's go to work. Hopefully that's something that we can handle relatively easily. But I think that's one of those things, and I think we're going to find more. I'm sure you guys are already seeing more areas that, you know, we thought we were headed in one direction, and maybe now that's not exactly where we want to head. And we're going to continue to find that as we go. What I'm most excited about is it's a pretty inviting website that seems to be relatively easy to navigate. I mean, they're never easy enough, right? Because if they were easy enough, they would just know exactly what I'm looking for, and I wouldn't, it'd be sitting right there in front of me. But I just commend Barb the work that you and the whole group has done to get us to this point. And now let's start to figure out, and I think this calendar issue is the first main one. Let's start to figure out how we go ahead and get closer to the end goal.
Is there anything else that the board has seen that maybe you'd like to change?
And I did not make a list. I didn't go through, you know, and get really picky at this point because I knew we were going to have this discussion, and that was good to have a more open mind on it. And I asked to be on consideration to be put in here only if we came to something that needed a formal motion, okay? But my probably main concern now is if we have to call the entire website committee together every time we see something that we think should be changed. I think there's a lot of people to kind of continually pull away from work. And are there other options that we can do if we see things solely like to have them changed? You know, is there a smaller group that you guys could maybe have the nucleus of,
and would that be something we need to make a motion on?
I think we're to the point that the main information, the main structure is kind of put in place. So unless it's like the design of a homepage or something, it probably doesn't need to come to the website committee and to the board. I mean, individual departments put their own information on, other than the website committee is working on some standards to bring to the board for your consideration. But I think we're almost to the point that the departments kind of can make those decisions on their own, the departments and offices, because it's technically their age or whatever.
Which is where I think we want it to be.
Right.
We want it to reside with each one of the departments. And the only time that I would see that we would need to get committee input is when we find something like the calendar that just doesn't quite line up like we expected it to line up. Now we're making more of a structural change to the way something is set. And here's what I don't want to do. So we asked this committee to really work hard and did a phenomenal job. I don't want to pull the rug out from under them right at the end as we're trying to get this thing where we need to go. And so if it means that we need to have another meeting or two as we get some of this stuff resolved, I think that's worth doing. Just from an owner, we want this we want the employees to have real ownership in this, right? That's how it's going to last a little longer. And so that's how I'm most comfortable going. I like the way we worked through this process. I mean, we found something that just doesn't quite work. It just, you know, it's not what we all hope for, right? It should be easy to go in and find what's going on. And I like the way you guys have worked through getting us where we need to go. Now I'll be interested to see how that's implemented. And then the next time we find something like this, that for whatever reason it doesn't quite practically work like we thought it would work in theory, then we need to deal with that. And until it starts to become cumbersome for us, I would hope that we wouldn't exert our authority on something that has really been staff-led to this point.
As long as there's the comfort level among you guys that you think that the committee can, if we decide that, tell it. So I'm comfortable with that. And then my other thought is thank you, Barb, for sending out that email saying, hey, we lose our data as of May 15th, because that's now just, what, 7 days away.
Right.
And I know that you would ask people before if there are any questions, any problems, route them through you, so there'd be one kind of collection point there. And what are you finding? Are people starting now to take that last week and getting data in there?
No, I have one response.
Okay. All right.
And that was just, yeah, my page looks great. I'm satisfied the way it is. I'm good to go.
Well, that's a positive first response. But okay, so the three of you have any ideas about how we might just make sure we don't get down to May 14th and 2 hours remaining, and then we find out about a big disaster without nagging? I mean, there's a balance between the two, but...
Well, I don't know. There's not a lot. So we kept track. We were told on February 23rd when the cutoff for the old site was to keep track of anything we changed, entered into the new site. I talked to a couple of people who said, if I don't get it in by May 15th, I have everything hard copy.
Okay.
I can enter it at my own convenience. So haven't had a lot of people panicking over this.
Okay.
I think they have everything they need on the new site. They like it. They want to get rid of the old.
Yep.
All right.
Did you think anything different in this stuff?
No, I think, you know, we're to the point it's kind of up to each department to, I don't know how we would know exactly what was.
Exactly.
You know, I suppose you could go in and compare the new to the old. It would be fairly cumbersome to do that. But, you know, each department was responsible for keeping track and updating their site. So, you know, there might be some departments that don't put the information back on there if they don't feel it, like it's outdated. And I think that's probably their choice. So.
During the training with the woman who came,
Candace.
Thank you, Candace. I'm gonna say I love her name, but Candace. She just like telling you the Board of Supervisors, the front page was, or the home page for the Board of Supervisors, which I think we all agree is not. That's the whole county's, right? Were there any other instructions that she gave that you guys feel you the committee might want to revisit, given that you had a discussion about this one?
Yeah. Well, she taught along industry standards, and like anything else, what you try to do is change something to match the way you work, when really you should be trying to do it via industry standards. The only other thing she pointed out is what we do with our agenda center and how we treat the archive center, and that's an internal what we decide to do with that.
Okay.
But she gave us some options, and so I think once we decide where we want to go with it, we have the tools to do it ourselves.
Great. Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
So I'm not hearing anything that requires action unless you guys feel like we've got something. Mm-hmm. Just thank you to you guys and the entire group that's been working on this. I think we're in a good spot. I'm looking forward to getting to the end where it just becomes a maintenance issue.
I do want to add that the committee, I'm really proud of what they've done. They all own their work.
That's
and
right.
They're dedicated, and I really appreciate the amount of time they've spent on their pages. The only lingering issue we have with the website is sometimes the permissions don't hold, and we have to re-enter those. But Civic Plus is working on that. Otherwise, we've got a meeting on the 21st to finalize our standards document, so we'll be bringing that to you after that, and then we're done.
Outstanding. Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Good job.
Thank you, Board.
Next is departmental reports, and we get to hear from Joe Quaker. Where's the show? I promise, show and tell.
I got it.
All right.
Bring it up. Joe. This is the kids' one.
Just put that anywhere.
Let's see here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just put it right here. So, what's on that?
Not new slides. Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
So
it's been a while. I mean, we've been around each other in meetings and visits and things like that, but officially my last board report was August 8th. That was a couple days after Ringgold County came up and toured, and we met out there and things like that. So some of this, and I put this together this morning, it went through some numbers. Some of this you've seen before at the township trustee meeting, and I think, Marty, you called it IRVM story. I'm going to go through as quick as I can. A lot of it's 2017 numbers, which we kind of need to wrap up. I'll go quick, and then I'm going to hit on what we have up to date and a little bit of the future, and then show and tell. So the first question, the answer to the question is no. I've been asked that a lot today. I took off yesterday to go mushroom hunting and other things, and in Story County I did not find any mushrooms. So
yep.
Officially the public might want to know that, but it's any day soon. So I won't take away from the meeting. Here we go. As we know, that happened last June, and we're working through that. We have storage in other areas. A lot of the equipment has come back home. It's because we use it not every day, but we need to have it next to us. So although it may be getting wet here and there, we try to pull our equipment inside as much as we can. And keep it dry, keep the weather and the sun off of it. So we're moving ahead with that. I'm going to go into planting. So that's the hydros here. That is snow. We worked late in the year last fall. We had a lot of work, and as Darren would report, they had a great dry fall for getting a lot done. And so as far as our responsibility to stabilize the soil, do erosion control, you know, the silt logs you see with stakes through it, not, you know, we do it in our right-of-way. The DOT does them a lot to keep the erosion down. We broke records. The numbers will be here in a minute. So we did a lot of planting, and some of the roads, you know, West 190th, that's the winery road. We redid the bridge there and got it seeded. It's screening up. Really, these pictures aren't doing it any justice for some reason.
It's our projector.
Oh, okay.
We're working on it.
Got it. Work in progress. So pretend it's green. So when I go through numbers, not a big deal. You almost have to double those when it goes to seeding, because we put cover crop down and then we go back. And that's really important to keep things green and hold the soil. So. That's 13th Street coming out of Nevada as you go toward Ames. Marty, you probably know right where that is. And then the biggest one is Grant Avenue. Okay, so we have a little bit left to do. That's looking north. We need to seed by the bike trail on the east side of the trail. That's only 2.5 feet. So I'm in the process of working with our planter to not plant 8 feet wide, but just 2.5 feet. And we're pretty good at fixing stuff and making stuff out there, so I'll get it done hopefully this week, depending on the moisture. So most of that's already done. It's screening up fine. You know, numbers kind of bore everybody. You know, you see a lot of them, but we're going to probably break records again this year. We haven't started planting, so as of today, we've done 27 acres, and that's... that's about 4 miles of road if you add it all up, 4 miles of centerline roads, so, you know, each side of the ditch. So our average is about 40. I didn't put the miles in there. But the big number at the bottom is 65,000 pounds of mulch. That's double what we've done in the past. And those are those 50-pound bales that we put in the machine made out of recycled newspaper and wood. I'm going to go to drainage district stuff. This is finishing up. I wish Tyler was here, but he's moving drill around. I believe this is Grant 13. What's the open ditch that runs by the Jensens?
Grant 5,
yeah. So this is finishing up Grant 5. This is not this winter, but the winter before, getting the brush out of there. The piles are all burned up. I think there should have been a slide in there. Well, I took it out to kind of keep this moving. So this one's done. All we need to do now is maintenance on the roof sprouts, as you hear in every report. And I have that here. I wrote the numbers down. Mr. Kelly, my wingman, or I'm his wingman, we built that sprayer, that three-point sprayer. He worked in 8 different open ditches last summer and sprayed over 17 miles of reef sprouts. Okay. And so that's pretty commendable to Tyler. And he did a couple tile districts, and that's to reduce the brush. Remember I brought the tree in last year that was a year old to kind of keep the brush down after we do all the work?
Mm-hmm.
Good for Tyler. We did send letters out to advise landowners adjacent to the open ditch that we were going to be working in that open ditch and to gain access. These letters went out long ago. They've had plenty of heads up. I'll just leave it at that. And then we sent out other letters to let them know we're, for the next year operation. So now they have an extended amount of time to be aware that we're going to be gaining access or acquiring access along the open ditches in Story County. So I get a lot of feedback, a lot of positive feedback from this. They call and ask questions. We do have some folks wanting to plant some access lanes around, so that's good. And then we send a letter out for logging, and that's when we may go in or a contractor may go in to do some work, okay? And if we send this out ahead of time, board, that means maybe they won't chisel the field or heavy disc it so it's not so lumpy. It's easier to drive on and things like that. And those are things that we've learned over the past just to get ahead of the game. Hardin Story 3, northeast of McCallsburg, there's our pile. That's Tyler's shadow. We finally asked for some help. We had some money levied. We got Jensen Construction to come in. That's a lot of trees, and we were running out of time. So he helped us do that, and he also helped us get out the proverbial beaver dam that was causing a blockage. So that's done. That was wrapped up Saturday. Spraying operations, that's what we do. We are, in accordance to Weed Law 317, with the noxious weed law, we go out and spray with our trucks and our summer staff. This is Japanese knotweed. We, as a weed commissioner, appointed weed commissioner, we do help our other municipalities out. That's the city of Ames. Emma, am I pronouncing this right? Emma McCarthy Park?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a nasty plant that takes over the understory. Nothing grows under it. We help them. Their park people are certified too. We work together. We do charge for our time back to the city.
That's my backyard.
It is really.
Got that in there.
So
that's literally my backyard.
No.
Where she walked.
So there's a lot of work to do there. This is Stagecoach Road, looking south. That's the Isaac Walton League on the east side, on the left side. Okay, that's honeysuckle, and you hear with Amy Yoakum, our natural resource, honeysuckle is a big problem, and so. That's dead honeysuckle, if you can imagine it brown. We did find something that could take care of it and not do a lot of collateral damage to other plants. That's the main thing in natural resource management. You want to take out the bad stuff to keep the good.
Right.
And then that's the old man spraying sumac in a pioneer cemetery. So here is the contract spray that we had last summer. We're almost going to be doing this again. They won't start until August. July, probably mid-July, August, we're going to be covering the townships. Just if you go back west across the county, which would be Richland, Milford, Franklin, and maybe half of Sherman, okay? Depending on the brush load, this is a budgeted item. It depends on how much they'll get done, and then we'll try to get done in-house what we can, okay? Just some pictures of what we do in the summer when all this is happening. So we're in the middle of brush season. We have a couple summer people. This is just what you find out. This is what I like the district maintain, the main people that maintain the roads. They'll call up and say, look at all this brush coming through the guardrails. Okay, this is dangerous, so we go out and try to clear it. Kind of before and after. So that's our spraying operations. As far as what we did for noxious weeds, we did about 200 centerline miles. That's average for Story County. Burning. Marty always liked to hear about burning. Last year, we did 8 sites for 25 acres. This year, we're up to 2 sites for 7.25. It's just been a crazy burn season with the water. And if you've read the paper, potential for fires to not do what you want them to do is out there with the high wind and low humidity. And even though we're prepared, that's the burn rig there. That's just like a volunteer fire department, all the bells and whistles. We're not taking chances. A couple things I always like to throw in here. I saw more of this year than ever. So I'm going to do an article before this happens next year is roadside burning and burning up utility poles.
Yep.
Okay. And so we water around them. A lot of people do not. Grants. That's our seed tumbler, 80% grant, 20% our match. That was budgeted in FY17. That is how we mix our seed now instead of scoop shovels on the floor. So it makes it a lot better. The Polaris, I tried to get into the elevator. It wouldn't fit for show and tell. So it's still at the shop. Well, that's not a Polaris. I'm sorry. That's our Kubota. Okay. And that is a spray tank, and we've already used that. So that was another match from the Living Roadway Trust Fund. Other purchases. Voila. There it is.
Our $4,500, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I need to figure out how to move this thing out of the guy's building, which is this week, too. So I'm networking with a couple other landowners, farmers that have a dolly for the bean head, and then we can get the corn head on this thing and figure it all out. It's just happening all at once. I didn't get time to finish this slide this morning, so you know, I ran the equipment replacement schedule. We went through our inventory fairly well this year. You know, we have some small equipment budgeted for weed eaters and things. We did get the tractor, trade the tractor from conservation to go into ours, so we're moving ahead. Remember, our equipment was about 17 years old, but I'm thinking some big ticket items on a schedule to talk about in the future, so it's not a surprise attack. May have to happen come down the road, so just throwing that out there. The board supports our private lands program. This is someone planting CRP. This is called a frost seeding in the snow. They're actually, the tubes are unhooked on the drill, so the seed's just falling on the ground. And you have to do this. You can't see it, but the sun is shining. So it melts the seed right to the ground because the sun hits the seed. Last year, it was kind of low. Remember the year before, it was a record breaker, 1,200 acres in FY16. FY17 was 170, and to this point, we're at about 150 acres of the seeding equipment and another 80 to come. So we're not doing bad. And that, you know, that's working with a dozen and a half landowners, which is always good to have them come out and visit us and things like that.
Yep.
Our volunteer hours. I kind of looked this up this morning and wrote it down. Our volunteer hours last year were 172. That's just IRVM, okay? Before that, you know, it was in the 50s and 60s, so we had a bump up this year already, and we have a 4-H group coming, which will be added several more hours. We're at 257. Oop, I just got chills.
I'll say
257 hours. So we're up, I did the calcutions, about 34%. So.
What do you owe that to, Joe?
Seed harvest. People like to get out when the weather's good and harvest seed, be connected. We are working with other groups from Iowa State. We had a builder's organization that helped build a shed for oil storage. And I worked with a person for several hours to redo our files. There was some lean stuff in there I haven't weeded out since 1989. So that took a lot of hours. And that was Erica coordinating that. She's always, hey, you got any projects? You know, she's always.
Yeah, and I would say that that's one of the major differences with our volunteer hours being up is the effort that Erica's putting in.
Back to the equipment, I forgot this part. I really want to give, I'll start with Darren and then go to Andrew and then go to the rest of the road department on their support for my program. It is at a level, it's taken a long time. You know, it's been years building it to the level it is. And, you know, just to get a call yesterday from the chief mechanic that said, hey, we took your hydro seeder and put brakes on it, and we fixed the air conditioning, which is awesome because it hadn't had air conditioning for years, and they fixed the door latch. Little things like that, you know, and it was just how they fit it in and did it. I just can't say enough. It would be a lot tougher without those guys' support. So now it's a show and tell time. Looking forward, well, we got some more planting to do. We're going to spray weeds. We did get some people hired, okay? So they're brand new. One's out of high school. It'll be an exciting summer. As long as the ability to learn is there, I'm sure we'll be okay. So, whoop. All right. Don't want to drag this on too long. So one of the things I did, one of my goals was to market IRVM a little more. Through brochures and things like that. Or, you know, maybe do the fair, the county fair, or other things like that. Tag in with Conservation of Partners, which we've done. And so I found this and ordered it. I'm sure you could
call it up
on the roof somewhere. But what this is the actual...
Oh, the actual root.
A big blimp stem. And I'll show it to you guys first, but this is the actual link.
Right.
Oh, my word.
Oh, thank you. I don't know how, yeah, we can just kind of tilt it, I guess.
And that board is why some of the native plants are so important to the water quality. So, I mean, look at the length of that deep root stream.
So this is why we plant this stuff.
And just think about the nutrients that's pulling out of the groundwater as it flows through.
So,
and show us, so normal commercial cropping, corn and soybeans, show us about where that root system goes in comparison.
I'm going to say 6 inches.
Yeah, right in there. That's the difference. So that's it. I mean, when you picture what Iowa was 250 years ago, it was all this, right? It's one of the reasons it's so important, especially along our waterways, but not only along our waterways, that we get more of these natives in.
So, that does a lot. That stuff does a lot of good out there. And I don't know where we're going to put it. It'll fit at the conservation center. They have a tall enough roof. You know, I really didn't know it was going to be that long. I guess when I ordered it, it was the actual footage. But when I unrolled it, it's like, wow, where am I going to be able to put this up, you know?
That's right. Leanne's getting her forearm workout in for the
day. So any other question? Well, you haven't really had a question yet. Any questions for me?
Questions for Jeff.
I think he's got his presentation polished up pretty good. I think you hit all the high points that I look to discuss with you. And just talking to you is not, you know, something we do anyway all the time. You're my neighbor.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, I wander over and we talk about stuff. I look forward to seeing you get your stories and get your combine back. So other than that, he's doing a good job.
So I had one question. Joey is doing a good job. One question. Have we looked at the possibility of tarping our storage building until such time as we get figured out where we're going with that, just to get that equipment out of the weather?
I thought about it.
Yeah.
I would need someone to go out there with me and look. I mean, the whole building shifted, so the poles are...
So here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that just as an inquiry, give Iowa Tarping also. Iowa Tarping has handled the tarping for all of those solar bales.
Okay.
And it just seems to me that they may have something lying around that they could make a really good deal just with the roof off that place.
Okay.
Temporarily covered for a really reasonable cost. And if you've got it in your budget, do it. And if you don't, then come back to us and talk about it.
You bet.
With the... Yeah.
what you were just saying, Joe, about kind of the tilting.
Well, that might just be a couple of bowls we can work on.
You have had some, I mean, that is a very old structure. And what you've had is the poles that you see standing in the pictures have rotted to the ground level, so virtually they move. And the wind shifted it in a way, but if you're tarping, he's just looking for something to put a rope over his equipment and whatnot. And I think a tarp might very well be a very good direction to go, at least a look.
So just maybe think of it as a high
risk. That's what I was just saying. Me and Joby looking.
It's just a low tech opportunity to use an existing shell.
Yeah.
And if that if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We look.
I like that idea. Yeah, I don't like the idea of my equipment sitting out. You saw the seat. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Any other questions for Joe?
I have no other questions.
Well, your job, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Then you come back.
No other reports. Public forum number two. Opportunities for members of the public to comment on anything you'd like to comment on. Anybody wishing to do so, come on up. And seeing no one with the microphone, liaison assignments, I have no idea, so I'm going to go to Loris.
Okay. I attended the Smart Economic Development Conference in Des Moines last week. I'm going to skip over a lot of it and focus, just tell you that I did go to two sessions. I think that we'll have information in the future that will be of help to us. One is they had a session on railroad sites. And so I learned some terminology. There was also a national site selector who was there and talked about the pros and cons, ins and outs of how sites get selected, and gave a list about what was important. It was interesting to learn that the actual site was number 3 on the list itself. Quality of life was number 4, and number 7 was incentives. Number 1, workforce. Not a surprise to all of us. I think I'll just talk about, I'm headed into a booth meeting this week, and also the juvenile justice is going to have its legislative update now at the end of the session. That'll be on Monday, which might be an interesting discussion with everything that's happened down at the legislature. And other than that, I think I'm going to pass with our time today.
Super hard if you
ask if there's anything that just like.
Yeah, so I just say had a great retreat with Supervisors Statewide Exec Board. You guys need to start coming to ISAC. So there's my plug to get you guys coming to ISAC. If there's nothing else for us, and hearing nothing else, we'll go to Jess Reynolds to talk to us about the possibility of going into closed session.
Well, good morning to the board. Pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.5, sub 1, sub C, I respectfully request that the board enter into closed session to discuss strategy with counsel in matters that are presently in litigation, where its disclosure would be likely to prejudice or disadvantage the position of the governmental body in said litigation.
I would so move.
I have a second now.
Motion and a second. Any discussion or questions?
No.
Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. We're going to take a 5-minute recess, and then we'll go come back in closed session.
Okay.
All right. So I will take us back into open session after the board had a discussion in closed session. Jessica, bring us all the way out of it.
Very good. Well, after discussion in closed session, no action was taken, and therefore, at this point, there's nothing that needs to be done by the Board of Supervisors, and if you're done with business, you can do a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you miss that last part?